Blog Talk Radio.
Have that moving ahead in our spirit. So many times we look back, and when we look back, we look at who we used to be. We look at who we used to be in the world, but not who we are in Christ. But we have been grafted in to God's family. He is our Father God in heaven. Hallowed be his name. Or as our word says this morning, he is Abba Father. He is my daddy God. And I am grateful to be his child, to have been grafted in with the Savior. For we are one in Christ and so caught up in denominational foolishness that we forget who we belong to. We forget that we are children of God. Good morning, good morning, family. I pray all is well with each and every one of you. And I thank God for the do-over for us all, because he woke us all up this morning, didn't he? Started us all on our way. And I am so grateful to be loved by him, to be considered a part of the family. So today, God has given us a great word. As you know, this is Sunday, and on Sundays, we are normally New Testament, all New Testament, but because Isaiah is such a long book and long chapters, we were not able to get into our Psalms and Proverbs on Friday. So we will do Psalms and Proverbs this morning, and then we will get into our New Testament word, which is where our title is coming from. And it is, we are all one in Christ Jesus by faith. But, and I can just switch it around because we know by faith, we are all one in Christ Jesus. And I am, again, grateful to be grafted in to the family of Abba Father. Heavenly Father God, we come to you this morning lifting up the name of Jesus, knowing that we are one and that we are in your family. Father God, we are thanking you this morning for waking us up, putting a pep in our step and a praise in our heart. But Lord God, we are here to just scream, Abba Father, because you have grafted us into your family. You have said, you have no favorites, that we are just one of many of your children. And I am thankful to be your child, God. Substance of things hoped for. I am hopeful in my future in your house. I am hopeful in my walk with you. I am hopeful that all things will work for my good because I have placed my trust in my Father's hands. I am grateful to know that my brother, my Savior, my friend died for me because he's a brother that loves his siblings because he wanted us to be saved. Father God, all I can say is thank you this morning. Thank you for the do-over. Thank you for waking me up. Thank you for the word that went forth on last night in my house. Hallelujah. For as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I serve you, Father, with a humble heart. I serve you with joy in my heart. I serve you, Lord God, because I love my dad, and I know my dad loves me. And all I can say is thank you, Daddy God. Thank you, Daddy God, for choosing all of us as your children, for putting the breath of life into my body. Because, Lord, there are some that probably said I shouldn't have been born, but I know I was born to serve you. And, Lord, I pray for all those that were should have been born to save you that did not make it into this world because you loved them best and chose to let them stay with you. Father God, I pray for the sick, the shut-in, for the confused, for the helpless and the homeless, and for those that just need more time. Father God, I pray for prayers to be answered today. Pray for leaders that they will have hearts of compassion and love for their constituents. I pray for pastors, Lord, that must shepherd a disorderly flock, oh Father, where one is lost and they're trying to find the one, but the 99 is being scattered as well. So they're constantly trying to find their lost sheep. I pray for pastors today, Lord God, that have to give words to touch hearts, touch all hearts in their congregation. So, Father God, I lift up pastors today. I lift up those that are going forth. I lift up our children who may have to give a word on this Youth Sunday, who may have to sing a song, who may have to say a prayer. Father God, surround them with your love and give them instructions for, Lord God, we are training up children in the way that they should go so that when they get to be our ages, they will not depart from the lessons learned as children. Father God, I thank you for parents today and godparents and grandparents and the villages that are raising children. Lord God, let us get back into that village mentality that it takes us all to raise our children. That when one child is misbehaving down the street, you don't say nothing because it's not any of your business. Father God, let us get compassion, our care about others, to love all the children as if they were our own, that none will fall into the snares of the enemy. And Father, I ask you to give parents hearts to understand everybody is not after your children for the wrong reasons, but they are there to lift you up and to help you. Father God, I ask you to reveal all the wolves in sheep clothing. Let congregations see the wolf behind the pulpit if they are not your shepherds, but the wolves out to fleece your people. Father God, today is the day that you have made, and we rejoice and are glad in it. And Father, I ask that you increase as your humble child decreases, that the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. For Father God, you are my strength, and you are my redeemer. and I humbly submit myself to be used by you today and always. In the precious and matchless name of our Savior, my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God. I am excited today because this word is so rich. It is so rich. It is so good. And Paul did not play, not even with the apostles, not even with the Pauls that walked, Peters that walked with Jesus. He told it straight, and straight he told it. You didn't either had to accept it or you didn't. But he was going to tell the truth and shame that wicked devil. Because, you know, and that devil is hypocrisy. You know, we all can be hypocrites. Not one of us is perfect. We all fall short of the glory of God. But we have a God that is forgiving. We have a God that is loving. We have a God that is kind. We have a God that has grafted us in and called us his sons and daughters. We are blessed beyond measure to be grafted in. And as we get into this word this morning, let this word permeate in your hearts and in your mind. But it is a great word. You know, I heard someone say, well, you know, there's those preachers out there that just preach the Bible. Well, they need to, you know, preach salvation. Excuse me. What is the Bible but preaching salvation? The word of God is what we preach because that is the word of God. And it is for people to be saved. Because when you preach God's word, it's God's word. And he's sharing it with us so that we as preachers and teachers can preach salvation. Hallelujah. Because we all must stand before God one day. And I pray that when we stand before the Father, we stand saved, set free, and filled with the Holy Spirit. But that does not come but by knowing and meditating on God's word. We got to get out of this flash and dash preaching and mentality instead of preaching God's word. So, yes, I am one of those folks. I preach the word of God because God's word is the word that saved my life. And I pray that it saves someone else. And as we get into Psalms 109, starting at verse 21, 25, and we'll continue until we finish our Psalms for today, which will end in Psalms 109, I believe it is still. Psalms 110, verses 1 through 7. So we'll be in Psalms 109, verse 21, to Psalms 110, verse 7. And I am coming out of the New King James Version, but I believe I'm going to go over to a different, the Holman's Bible today, just to get a different perspective. And I'll be coming out of my actual, out of my Tony Evans Bible this morning. Advanced God, and it says the Tony Evans Study Bible. And this is Holman's Christian Standard. So I'll be coming out of Christian Standard this morning. But our commentary will still be from Dr. Stanley. Again, Psalms 109, starting at verse 21. And it says this, but you, Lord, my Lord, deal kindly with me for your name's sake, because your faithful love is good. Rescue me and needy. My heart is wounded within me. I fade away like a lengthening shadow. I am shaken off like a locust. My knees are weak from fasting, and my body is emaciated. I have become an object of ridicule to my accusers. When they see me, they shake their heads in scorn. Help me, Lord my God. Save me according to your faithful love, so that they may know that this is your hand, and that you, Lord, have done it. though they curse you, will bless. When they rise up, they will be put to shame, but your servant will rejoice. My accusers will be clothed with disgrace. They will wear their shame like a cloak. I will fervently thank the Lord with my mouth. I will praise him in the presence of many, for he stands at the right hand of the needy to save him from those who would condemn him. A priestly king, a psalm of David, Psalm 110. This is the declaration of the Lord to my Lord, set at my right hand, until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion's rule over your surrounding enemies. Your people will volunteer. Woo, hallelujah. Your people will volunteer on your day of battle in holy splendor from the womb of the dawn, and the dew of your youth belongs to you. I'm going to read that again. Verse 3, Psalms 110. Your people will volunteer on your day of battle in holy splendor from the womb of the dawn. The dew of your youth belongs to you. The Lord has sworn an oath and will not take it back. You are a priest forever, according to the pattern of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will crush kings on the day of his anger. He will judge nations, heaping up corpses. He will crush leaders over the entire world. He will drink from the brook by the road. Therefore, he will lift up his head. Woo! I love this word. I love this word. This is what, and if you want to know about Melchizedek, he was a king and a priest. And it says this in my Tony Evans Bible. It says so Messiah would accompany both offices. Moreover, Melchizedek blessed Abraham, and Abraham paid a tithe to Melchizedek. And we're going to go over to Genesis chapter 14 real quick, verses 19 through 10, 20. So Genesis chapter 14. I love study Bibles because they break everything down for you. And we're going to go to verse number 19. And it says, Melchizedek's blessing. It says, after Abraham returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the Sheba Valley. That is the valley of King's Valley. Melchizedek was king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest to God's Most High, to God Most High. He blessed him and said, Abraham is blessed by God Most High, creator of the heaven and earth, and blessed by God Most High, who has handed over your enemies to you. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. What a word. Wow. He was a king and he was a priest. And now we're going to go over to Proverbs chapter 26. So please join me in Proverbs chapter 26. And we're going to read verses. I'm going to go back and read verse 1 from last week. And it is from our Friday word. So I'm going to read starting at verse 1 in Proverbs 26. And we're going to go to verse 9. So we'll read Proverbs 26, verses 1 through 9, and then we'll get into our collections word. So Proverbs chapter 26, verses 1 through 9. And again, I'm coming out of the Holman Bible, and it's our Christian Standard Bible. This is like snow in summer and rain at harvest. honor is inappropriate for food. Like a fleeting sparrow or a flittering swallow, an undeserved curse goes nowhere. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod answer a fool according to his foolishness, or you'll be like him yourself. Did y'all catch that? Don't answer a fool according to his foolishness, because they're just folks that are just foolish. And the best thing to do is ignore them. Don't get into no argument with a foolish person, because as the word has already told you, you make them look wise in their own eyes. You know, the best thing to do for somebody acting foolish is to ignore them. And this is what it says. And I just said it, and I forgot that it came out of this word this morning because I studied before coming on just to go over some things. And it says, don't answer a fool according to his foolishness, or you'll be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his foolishness, or he'll become wise in his own eyes. We got to be careful getting in arguments with folks that you know just are not going to listen. They are not going to listen. They're going to do what they want to do, and then it'll be up to God to show them their foolishness, not you. And as we continue, it says, the one who sends a message by a fool's hand cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. A proverb in the mouth of a fool is like a lame leg, like lame legs that hang limp. Giving honor to a fool is like binding a stone into a sling. A proverb in the mouth of a fool is like a stick with thorns brandished by the hand of a drunkard. And y'all know that giving a stick to a drunkard, and they just look silly because they're trying to hit stuff that they don't even, that they think is there, that's not there. Because when you are intoxicated, you have no idea many times where you are. You don't even know your name in some instances. And you are made to be foolish because folks will use you, treat you horribly. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. And I believe it's Dr. Stanley. It might be. Actually, it's Dr. Tony Evans that says this, that has the Proverbs and the Psalms, and we'll go back over them. And it says this, sometimes when dealing with a fool, the best policy is to ignore him so that you don't entangle yourself in his ways. At other times, the wiser choice may be to respond to the fool using his own argument to demonstrate how silly he is. Paul followed the latter course in 2 Corinthians. And, you know, as we get ready to go into the study Bible from Dr. Evans, which will be our lessons for next year and maybe for the next 3 years, because I think that this study Bible is a 3-year study of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. And if I'm not mistaken, we do have one that in a year, and we may do that one. We'll find out. We may go and do the whole using the Tony Evans 1-year calendar to read the Bible in 1 year. So God will show me what to do because he hasn't given it to me yet. I just know that we will be in the Tony Evans Study Bible next year. That's the only thing that I do know. So thanking God for the Word of God. And as we continue going back over our, going back into our Charles Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, our biblical principles for each day of the year, we will be in the book of Galatians. And just going back over some life lessons from what we just read in Psalms and Proverbs. And Dr. Evans is good, great actually, and Dr. Stanley is also great. And I am so grateful to God for giving me both their words to speak to you, because their words are right on point and right on to us. And this is what Psalms 109:27 says, that they may know that this is your hand, that you, Lord, have done it. When we pray for someone's deliverance or for God to intervene in some situation, it is entirely appropriate to ask God to make it plain that what happens is no coincidence. but a direct answer to prayer. And that's the truth. I have seen God work in my own life. When I went to that, ear, nose, and throat specialist, and they said I had a polyp on my vocal cords, on my larynx, and that I was not supposed to speak, and that I couldn't sing, and that I couldn't do anything. All the things that I do to honor God, it was stuff that they said I couldn't do. And so I had to go to speech therapy, and I had to, you know, take certain kind of medication and all this stuff. And finally, I said, Lord, I'll work for you. You know, we sometimes get caught up in what the doctor says, and we forget who is the master, who is the doctor, who is the one that gave doctors knowledge. It's God. So I got on my knees, and I went for prayer. And I gave it to God, and I said, Lord, I need to be able to speak. That's what I do. That's my job. That's when I go to work, I work for you, and I need to be able to talk. Therapy class I had, and I trusted God for healing. And I remember going back to the specialist, and they stick the scope through your nose and down through your throat. You can't do anything but sit still. And she's got a little scope, and she's looking, and she's looking, and she's looking. And she says, it's gone. And I shout now, as I shouted then, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't tell me what prayer won't do. Don't tell me what God can't do. Hallelujah. Our Daddy God answers our prayers. When we pray for someone's deliverance, I ask God, I pray for my own deliverance. Because sometimes we get caught up in what we don't, and what we don't have, and what we wish we had, and what we want, that we forget to say, Lord, thank you for saving my soul. I once was lost, but now I'm found because you found me. I was once torn from the floor up, but you picked me up and dusted me off for the blessings that come only from him. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 4 through 5. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Some, and this is what Dr. Stanley says, some may say, there you have it, a direct contradiction in the Bible. Well, not quite. Both statements can be true, although in different situations and at different times. It takes a wise person to know which one applies. And the church said amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. God will show up and show out every time, because that's just what he does. He shows up and he shows out. And he is showing up and showing out in this word this morning. And as we get into our word for today, we are coming out of Galatians chapter 3 for our word, but we're coming out of Galatians chapter 2, 3, and 4 today. Galatians chapter 2 says this, then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run, I had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, which came in by sleep to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But from those who seemed to be something, whatever they were. It makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man. Our daddy don't have favorites. You know, let's call it straight. Parents can have favorites. Well, I like this daughter better than I like that daughter. I like this son better than I like that son. You know, and I am so grateful to my husband, my late husband. I am grateful to Jeff because we made a conscious decision before our children were even born that we would not show favoritism with our kids because we've seen how favoritism can mess kids up. When you have favorites, you mess your children up because what happens is the one that's not the favorite starts to eventually get a hardened heart. And understand, it's the one that you treat the least is the one my mother used to always tell me as a child. The person that you treat the worst is the one that will be able to give you a drink of water when you get old. Will be the one that will have to wipe your behind when you get old. So you need to treat your children the way you want to be treated. Treat them equally. We didn't allow anybody to divide our sons up. You know, somebody said, well, this one can stay, but that one can't. All right. He's so nice and that one's so bad. I'll have bad children. You better take that foolishness and go somewhere. You're not going to treat one of my children different than you treat the other one. Or you don't have to be bothered with either of them. That's why they got parents. And because we did not show favoritism, because we did not treat one better than the other, my sons are best friends. They're each other's best friends. And I can say this. I have my sons are not the ones that got into fights and fighting each other like they in a brawl. My children always lifted each other up. When one is down, the other one is there to lift him up. And God is there to lift them both up because they both have gone through. But God, good men. And they are polite men. And they are godly men. And I'm grateful because we did not show favoritism, just like our dad God does not show favoritism in us. But this is what Paul said. He had to tell this because, understand, he's with the big dudes now. As they say, he's with the big dogs. He's with the OGs. He's with the original gospel gangsters. You know, he's with the disciples. You know, he is with the ones that walk with Jesus. And so he was a member. He persecuted. So some of them still probably don't quite trust him. But now we're talking 14 years. What did he say? Then after 14 years, went back to Jerusalem. And then let's keep going. Verse 6, it says, but from those who seem to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man. But those who seem to be something added nothing to me. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter. But he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, Archippus, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me. We know Cephas, so Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars. So you're looking at Peter, James, and John. Who seemed to be pillars received the grace that had been given to me. They gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was eager to do. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision and the rest of the Jews who played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel. I said to Peter before them all, if you being a Jew live in the manner of Gentiles and not as a Jew, not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are a minister of sin. Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live in God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, but if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Woo! He said, let me preach to even Peter over here, who knows better, you know. When I'm with just the Gentiles, I'm cool with them. But when my friends come, that's like the person that's popular in school. When the popular crowd is not around, they hanging with everybody. You know, they friendly to the geeky kid or the nerdy kid or to the kid in the glasses. Oops, when their friends come around, they ease away from that group and go to the popular crowd and sit with them and make fun of the folks they was just hanging with. Come on now. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. But we gonna shame the devil today. We gonna shame the devil today. You know, I'm hanging, you know, with the folks in the hood today, but then I'm going back to the suburbs and pretend like, y'all know why those people don't do this and those people don't do that. Excuse me. We all this side of Section 8 and public housing. Don't act like you're all that when we all have been there. We all have lived in the hood. There's nobody better than anybody else. And, you know, we see it in churches where the educated group, they all go over here and they kind of hang together. And the ones that are the actual willing workers in the church, you know, the ones that are doing the work don't get the accolades because we giving it to the doctors and the this and the lawyers and the that. Now we got to give everybody their flowers while they're here because all work for God. From the highest height to the lowest depths, we all work for God. And we're all his children. We are all grafted in. We are all in the family of Christ. And this is what Dr. Stanley had in Galatians chapter 2, verse 4, the sneaky snakes that slither in all the time. It says, and this occurred because of the false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by sleep to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. And it says there is something about freedom that many people, even within the church, simply can't tolerate. They will try all sorts of tactics, both obvious and veiled, to bring you under their control. Don't let them. That's just like I grew up in a church where folks got looked at all funny if they got filled with the Holy Spirit. And don't take all that. I don't know why they up there doing all that hollering and hooping and running around the church. And nobody want to see all that. I came here to, you know, to go to church. I ain't come here to see all that show and all that foolishness. The Holy Spirit hit them. You should be rejoicing because they may have been sinners and now they got saved. And you sitting there talking about them because they shouting. Just get out of my way and let me dance. You know, I love the freedom of my church. I love the freedom that if the Holy Spirit hits and you want to run, you let my pastor just get out of the way and let you run. If you want to take your shoes off, she just let you take your shoes off and run all around if you need to do that. God knows your heart and God knows what you do. If you got to just stand up and say amen, hallelujah, or the Holy Spirit hits, and the next thing you know, you're singing to God and the angels of heaven. Just says that and lets God work, because you never know, somebody may need that to be saved, to know that they can be free to worship. This is what it says in verse 13 of chapter 2 of Galatians. Even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. We should never imagine that our sin affects only ourselves and no one else. Peter didn't mean for sin to infect others, but it did. That's why we have to rely on God's Spirit to help us avoid spreading spiritual disease. And we got to understand that God is wanting the best for us, but he wants us to do it the right way, to do it God's way. Galatians chapter 3, and it says this, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? If only I want to learn from you, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, have you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. For know that only those who are faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are in faith are blessed with being believing Abraham. We're grafted in. We are family. For as many are as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, curses everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. I'm going to read that again. For the just shall live by the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Faith. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant. Yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to the seed as of many, but as of one, and to your seed who is Christ. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before my God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. But if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise, but Abraham by promise. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now the mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. In the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. again, the question is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. But if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Again, but the scripture has confined all under sin, for we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But then it goes on to say that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterwards be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Excuse me. But after, we are no longer under a tutor. Jesus is here. Faith is here. God is here through his Son. But you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, or through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Can we say amen? Galatians 3:24, life lessons from Dr. Emily, and it says this. The law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. God never intended that anyone tried to work their way to heaven. You're not going to get there. Abraham couldn't, Moses couldn't, and neither could Paul. None of us can. The law shows us our need for a Savior who rescues us by grace. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, accepted our rightful condemnation and the punishment we deserve when he willingly went to the cross. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, you are all one in Christ Jesus. I say it again, you are all one in Christ Jesus. And my title today is that we are all one in Christ Jesus by faith. God does not play favorites. He has no favorite sons or daughters. We all come to him with exactly the same level of need, and he makes us into a single unit, the body of Christ. And we forget that we got to be the body of Christ. Come on now. You can't just have a leg and only a leg. You can't just have an eye and only an eye. You need the whole body. All of us are part of God's children, and he loves us all equally. Galatians chapter 4, it says, now I say that the heir, as long as our heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is the master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, thus I have labored for you in vain. Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trail, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you that you may be zealous for them. But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always and not only when I am present with you. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. Paul is speaking to his church, to the Galatians, because they have gone down the wrong path. And one thing about it here, we got to get our kids back on the right path. And Paul's trying to get them on the right path. And he says, they zealously court you. He tried to let them know, don't fall for the okey-doke. And if we go to verse 21, it says, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise, which things are symbolic for those are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. But this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. But the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we brothers, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. This is a word from Dr. Stanley before we get out of here this morning. And it's Galatians 4 and 6, and we're going to read it one more time. It says, and because you are sons of God, has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Abba is an Aramaic term for father that suggests warmth, closeness, intimacy, and mutual delight. God adopts us into his heavenly family the moment we place our faith in his son, Jesus Christ, and because he accepts us just as he accepts his own son. We are joint heirs with Christ, yet God didn't bring us into his family to be an austere and stern father, but to be our beloved and approachable daddy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Daddy. And when we go to verse 19, it says this, my little children for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. The goal of Christian living is not to sin less or to reform our manners or to do better than we used to. The goal is total transformation, to see Jesus formed in us. God wants us to increasingly resemble his son. We got to transform our hearts, transform our minds, and ask God to take over in every aspect of our life. Because so many times we try to do it on our own and we fall. Ask God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to take over. So today, if you are not saved, today is a good day to be saved. Today is a good day to believe in Jesus Christ, to accept him into your life, to be grafted into his family, to know that Abba Father is your father too, and that he loves you, and that he does not show favorites. He loves us all equally. Today is a good day to put your trust in the Lord God and to say, Jesus, I am a sinner, saved by grace, by your blood. I accept you into my life as my Lord and Savior. I give myself to you, Savior. I call on your name today, Jesus, and I accept you into my life. We got to accept the Savior into our life so we can be grafted in, so we can be in the family of promise, that we will no longer be bond servants, but free. What a word this morning. If there's anybody that has a word that God has given them, please push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. And again, we are all one in Christ Jesus by faith. And a word from before we get out here from our sister in Christ, to Carolyn. And the word for yesterday, well, for today is this. Give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. Just fits right on in. You have a blessed Sunday, family. And again, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because understand, we are a building, not made by hand, but formed by the clay that was formed in the potter's hand. And the master potter is our Father God, our Daddy, who formed us, who blew the breath of life in us, and who made us and grafted us in as his children through his Son and our Savior and our brother, Christ Jesus. Thank you all for listening in this morning. And as I said, it was a great, 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 great word today. A great word. Abba, Father. Just call it out with me. Abba, Father, I thank you for grafting me in to your family through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Thank you all so much. We do not have a caller this morning that wants to speak. I thank you all for listening in. I ask the Father to watch over you, to bless you, to guide you, to lead you, give you strength, and to be able to stand on his word. For his word is true. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of the matchless Savior Christ Jesus, again, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. Find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. And if they don't pick up the word of God, pick up your word and find one that does. In Jesus' name, again, I thank you. I pray for you. I lift you up. Have a magnificent day. It's time to go to the house of God. Take your house to his house. For it is him we serve. I will serve the Lord. And I pray you will too. Be blessed, family. It is, as we say, a wrap. Because we're always willing, ready, available, and presently praying for each and every one of you. Be blessed. It's a wrap.